Let's, if you turn your Bibles real quick to Psalms 103. And let's just read a few verses from Psalms 103. For this morning, as we begin and remember the Lord's mercies. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I really like that. All that is within me. Boy, do we do that? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Wasn't that true? We were in the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Let's pray together. Father, we do want to thank you for your mercies. And remember your mercy and your loving kindness to us, saving us and rescuing us from the pit. And now you've given us and called us to a ministry to help restore. And Father, thank you for this week and all the great things that have gone on. Father, I pray that we'll be changed this week, we'll be changed because of this week, and that our ministries to other people, be they official, be they just friendships, be whatever they may be, may they be changed, may they be different to your glory, to your honor, that we'll be better equipped to help other believers and help bring people to salvation. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk for this hour. It's a new session for us. We've kind of retooled, revamped, and I want to see how this works. But I believe this issue of immorality and counseling those in immorality is an important subject, but certainly one that has a number of challenges. And I want to spend the next hour looking at the physical, the medical side of immorality. I don't think we necessarily do that and understand that as well as we should. First of all, there are definitely some challenges talking about this subject of immorality and the physical medical aspects of immorality. Certainly, it's a very sensitive nature. This topic is very sensitive. And for most people, it's a very private issue. The subject elicits a great deal of emotions, both for the individuals involved in these situations and for the individual providing counsel. If you're the counselor in this kind of situation, it's very sensitive. It's challenging just because it's so sensitive. And you wonder how much and what should I know and all those kind of details. So in this discussion, we're dealing with the most intimate aspects of other people's lives. The second challenge is it's potentially embarrassing. This topic is also embarrassing, admitting to the details of their sin. It's also very humbling to confess these kind of details. And this may be one of the reasons why it may take a number of sessions before all the details are revealed. The counselee is determining if they can trust the counselor, gauging what your response may be. Can they tell you these intimate, embarrassing details and how will you react? You'll also see some individuals confess in degrees. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. They confess in degrees. I only did this later to find out more and more greater details. We only held hands. And later on you find out, well, we only kissed. Well, it only happened once, and only with one person to find out that it was multiple times with multiple peoples. Many times you see people confess in degrees. And as a biblical counselor, we'll often see people with marital or extended family problems. They come in to see you because we're struggling with marital problems. We're just not getting along, and we're arguing, we're having troubles. Or it's my extended family with my grandparents and her parents and the in-laws and all those kind of things. Or job situations, only to discover later that sexual immorality is also part of the equation. And may have been the reason for counseling, but initially one or both parties were too embarrassed to bring it up. Number three, it's a challenge because it's inherently negative. Agree with that? This is by its nature very negative. And we are dealing, if nothing else, remember, we're dealing with the curse of sin. And we're dealing with the ramifications of the curse of sin, which many times in our culture today, we just minimize. We just say, it's really not an issue, it's not important. Oh, it's just... But we're going to talk about the ramifications of sin, the curse of sin. This is not a positive. By the way, hopefully this week you've had some positive, uplifting subjects. Have you? This might not be that one. But it's the reality and should remind us always of the curse of sin and how horrible and terrible it is. Because our world minimizes this issue and says it's not really a big deal. So it's not a positive, uplifting subject, except as we view this in light of the cross. The forgiveness that's available because of Christ's shed blood and God's abundant grace. However, when discussing this topic, we often have to discuss the awful consequences of sin that still may be present. And this is the hard part for us to get. The consequences that still may be present, even if forgiveness was sought and granted. See, many times the consequences remain or even progress, and not only for the one who committed the immorality, but also for the other spouse who now has the consequences of the immorality because they contracted the disease even though they never committed immorality. So it's inherently negative. Number four, we have to remember the issue of us not being tempted. The subject's a challenge for the counselor that while discussing the subject, they not be tempted. You say, well, that would never happen to me. What are you demonstrating? Yeah, just reared its head, bam, just like that, right? Galatians 6:1, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. By the way, would it require gentleness when we're helping people with this issue? Is it hard to be gentle many times in dealing with this subject? I think it many times is. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. And none of us are immune, and if we say we are, that's pride. It's also pride and the haughty spirit when we look down our noses at someone else. To say or to think, how could you do that? How? And again, okay, we would never say that, but would we think that? Would that be part of our thinking? Number five, it's potentially very complicated. As we're going to briefly discuss, some of these situations can become very complicated medically. Some have no treatment. Others can be treated with antibiotics, some with types of suppressive therapy, some with surgery, and others like the HIV/AIDS may end one's life. Again, not just for the offending person, but also for their spouse who didn't go outside, didn't commit immorality, but due to the sexual contact, may contract the infection and suffer the medical complications. And again, not only that, but can I also expand that? There's also potential complications with innocent children. Even newborns with herpes and HIV. So again, this can be very complicated. Another challenge to this whole subject is your comfort level. And I clearly understand as I talk about this subject that many counselors recognize the effects of immorality on the marriage and work towards repentance, work towards forgiveness, work towards restoration. And all those things are right. And all those things are good. They work for change in thoughts and habits and actions to glorify God, to bring honor to Him, to please Him, to become like Christ. But I'm not comfortable talking about this subject. I'm not comfortable talking about these issues and their implications, so I'll just ignore them. I think that's why it makes it a challenge. Now, I think some reasons that we need to consider and talk about this topic. Number one, it's common. This is a topic which is not going to go away. Would you all agree with that? That, look, next year we'll not have